Okay, so continuing our discussion from yesterday, as Charlie correctly said, the discussion as to which Peri, I was asked these questions, some of these questions that we've been discussing today. We had the whole family around yesterday evening, and there were platters of fruit, and there were discussions about, you know, like, for instance, we said that the Min Shiva, according to the Mechaber, and according to the Ramah, the Min Shiva is the one that takes, yeah, the Perish in Shtapachu Behem Eretz Yisrael is the one that takes precedence. But the children said they don't like olives. Right? An olive is a sour thing, and also the olives that we had were not like fresh, like unadulterated olives. Right? They were from a jar, and they had they'd been opened already, and they had a little bit of something red inside, and they were sour and bitter, etc. So they didn't want to make a bracha on the olives, because they said the olive is not choviv, but the olive is number one. Olive is number one in the list of the five of the Peres Eretz Yisrael. So we had that discussion. And then somebody else said, well, I really ought to make the Brocha Hoetz on the Shechionu. We had a few Shechionus there, most of them were inedible, but one or two were not bad. We had a very, very dark red thing called the dragon fruit, I think, which was quite good. Yeah, but it was not bad. I mean, it was okay, yeah. But they said, oh, so I should make a bracha on the Shechionu. Well, the Shechionu is the Choviv today, if you like. If you're making a bracha on the Shechionu, it's probably because you're more excited that you say, Shechionu v'kimonu v'kionu as well as that. I'm really happy that I'm about to eat this fruit, and please God, I hope it tastes decent. I hope it tastes respectable. But, yeah, so therefore, the Shaila was Choviv, and the answer was again, Min Shiva comes first. But the Rambam, which is what Charlie was alluding to last week, the Mechaber himself brings down the Rambam as a second shitta in Sif Beis, and the Rambam says that whereas in the first shitta, the Shulchan Aruch, it was Min Shiva, followed by Sholem, followed by Choviv, that was the order, Min Shiva, Peres Eretz Yisrael, and then the mala of a complete fruit as against a started fruit or a cut fruit. And there is discussion in the poskim, what happens if you've only cut the fruit open in order to check it for worms? Or you've just, let's say, you're checking a date. So you've cut it open, you've removed the pip, so that you can check the flesh to see if there are any worms or any residue, etc., etc. Most poskim say that's still called a complete fruit, because you haven't actually started nibbling away at it, you haven't eaten from it, and therefore, even though it's not... it's not whole in that sense, but nevertheless, even if you cut it into two halves, but the whole fruit is there, it will still have the milo of Sholem. And then Choviv. Says the Rambam, Choviv is everything. The Rambam says that whichever you look at it, whether you're against Sholem, whether against Peres Eretz Yisrael, the Sholem will take precedence. So therefore, according to the Rambam, if you've got a complete apple, and you've got a started date, yeah, then although the date is Shiva Saminim, but the apple is Sholem, and therefore, talking about Choviv. You want to eat the apple, or you've got a complete lychee, and you love lychees, and you've got a date as well, and you're going to eat the date as well, because you want to eat 15 fruits tonight, or a lot of fruits tonight. So then the halacha would be, according to the Rambam, that Choviv comes first. But there is a big difference between the Choviv of the Mechaber and the Choviv of the Rambam, and that is something that somebody raised last week, maybe it was you or somebody else. And that is, are we talking about the choviv that I usually like, or are we talking about the choviv that I happen to like tonight? The choviv that I happen to want to eat right now. Okay? Right? For instance, the simple example we said yesterday, on Rosh Hashanah, dipping the apple into the honey. Yeah? Probably the apple on Rosh Hashanah is choviv. Yeah, but it's only tonight. I don't normally love apples. I wouldn't normally prefer the apple to something else. But tonight, I want to make a bracha on the apple and dip the apple in the honey and sing the song with the children, v'chule. Yeah, so therefore tonight, the apple is choviv, but normally it isn't. So according to the Ramah, according to the Mechaber in the first shitta, which is also the Ramah, which we mentioned earlier, the choviv is, he says quite clearly, v'nikra choviv, what does the choviv... What do we call choviv? Hamin shirogil liyos choviv olav. It's the min that he usually likes. Afilu im ato chofetz b'min hasheni. Yeah. So it's the, in other words, choviv. The definition of choviv, according to the Ramah, not the Ramah, but this is in the Mechaber Sifalef, is the fruit that I regularly normally like better. Mashenka, the Rambam says very, very clear, very, very clear. Yeah. He says, Bein sheyesh bahem min shiva, bein she'ein bahem min shiva, you've got a mixture of fruits, whether or not they're passed from Eretz Yisrael or not, says the Rambam, makdim hechoviv loy oz ba'oysa sho'o. So in other words, the Rambam says, choviv, the definition of the choviv that takes precedence over everything else, is the one that I fancy eating now. Right? It might be that generally speaking, I like to eat light cheese. But tonight I've got a Shechianu and I want to make a Shechianu. Or tonight I've got, let's say it's Rosh Hashanah at night, and I want to eat a particular simon. I've got an enemy who's causing me an endless tsoros, and I want to eat the date and say, Sheyitamu Soineinu. And therefore tonight the date is, even though normally it isn't. So according to the Rambam, it's tonight's preference. But according to the Mechaber, which is the way we paskin, just to conclude, the Mishnah Berurah says, Omashma mistimas hamachaber deho ika kadeo horishoino shidas rova poskim. The Rambam is verses, a whole list of poskim. It's brought down here, Rabbi Huda in the Gemara, the Bahag, Rabbeinu Yoino, the Rashbo, Beshem Hatoisvis, and the Rived, Ushor Poskim. So you've got a long list of poskim who paskin like Sif Aleph, and we've only got the Rambam against all of them in Sif Beis, and therefore we paskin that Min Shivo is first, and after that comes Sholem. And in Choviv, we're talking about the Choviv, which is usually Choviv, not the Choviv that's Choviv this evening.
Well, this is very something different. He said,
"We pass
Gemara,
the
Rambam,
Ashkenaz. Do you choose the one you like the best?" Well, there's no Rambam here, by the way. It's only the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph and Sif Beis. Check it out. Where's the Rambam? There isn't a Rambam here. It's the Shulchan Aruch Aleph, Shulchan Aruch Beis, because it's the Rambam. Right, Torah Way, Northwest London, Monday, Tu Bishvat, the 2nd of February. Yeah, Rav Moshe Chaim Olech Shlita, and his subject is part one of a recap of Dirshu on Erevin, key principles to date.
Good morning. Okay, the purpose of this shir is not to in any way attempt to aragel achas all the details of Hilchos Erevin. That would be absolutely impossible. But more the idea is hopefully to try and crystallize whether people who are learning the issue now or people who will be learning Erevin in the future, but to crystallize the very basic concepts in a clear way that... because there's so many levels and aspects and overlapping areas of what makes the kosher Erev, the various halachas of Hitzor, which are relevant to, I thought Josh Frankel came up with the idea to give this type of shir. As the title does say, we have done in Dirshu, those who are learning Dirshu, the first part of Chedidah, the Shimem Hei, until Shin Samach, a base approximately, which is actually a good place to pause and perhaps do a bit of chazara over the concepts that have been covered already. So just as an overall picture, Hilchos Erevin actually is comprised, as I said, of various different moving parts. One part is Rishus Shabbos, which is defining the types of Rishus, different types of Rishus that exist in Hilchos Shabbos and Hitzor, and the various halachas that apply to each of them. This other next part, which is coming up in Shin Samach Beis onwards, is the mechitzas. In order to create a Rosh HaSoyachid, then there is a certain amount of mechitzas the Rosh HaSoyachid needs. There's various halachas about the design of the mechitzas itself, what it's made of, and its height, and various other aspects. And then there's how the mechitzas create the Rosh HaSoyachid that we're trying to achieve. And even within that, there's different types of mechitzas, and when you can use types of mechitzas, there's a Sotzer Pesach, there'll be a Merubah, there's various. The next part of the halachas is going to have its own. You can title it broadly Hilchos Mechitzas, and then following that, there's going to be Hilchos Erevin. Erevin is a very misused word. The Lashon Erev comes from a mixture to be ma'arav people together, and that was something completely which a much later stage in the halacha when Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakan, that my rishus and your rishus are itself a distinction between two types of rishus. The rishus we're going to cover today are the basic Rishus Rabim Shesayochid and the Karmelis and Mokim Patur. And Shnei Melech was Mesakan that me and you itself, the fact that I live here and you live there, is itself another distinction. And in order to get around that problem, he created the Takana of Eruv Chatzeiros and Shtufim Mevoyis. So that's really where the Lashon Eruvin comes from. But again, that's way down the line. Okay, so let's return to Rishus, the Rishus that we've covered so far in Shimei Hey. That will be the beginning of the focus today. So there are only three Rishus min HaTorah. The Brice in Shabbos says there's four Rishus, one's the Rabbanon, according to almost all Shittas. But the three Rishus min HaTorah are A Rishus HaRabim, B a Rishus HaYachid, and anything that's not a Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid, as we'll see, they each have defining features. If it's lacking in, if it doesn't fit the mold of either Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid, then it stays a Mokum Patur, essentially a non Rishus in the eyes of the Torah. And we'll see what the implications are in halacha. So let's start with Rishus HaRabim, because that's where the Mechaba starts from. The way it's described in the Braisa is a Sratia, Rishus HaRabim, what is the Rishus HaRabim? A Sratia, a Platia, Umavoyis, Hamufoloshim Beinayim. A Sratia means the center of the towns and cities where people would gather to do business, Rechovos HaShvakim. That was the Platia, a Platia as a plaza, perhaps you could, an easy way to remember. And the Sratia was the roads that took you Me'ir Le'ir. All of these Rishus I learned from in the Midbar, the various structure of Machane Yisrael, but for practical purposes, the Sratia is the roads between Ir Le'ir, and a Platia is the place in the ear where people would gather. And the third Rishus HaRabim is Mevois Hamufoloshim Be'nehem, between the Sratia and the Platia, the network of roads that connected people to move around from coming outside of town or in town towards the Platia would be the third type of Rishus HaRabim. Now, what consists of Rishus HaRabim? There are three Tanoim which are universally accepted that in order to create Rishus HaRabim. Number one is, we learn from Nagolus in the Midbar, they had to be Tes Zayin Amot wide. So practically speaking, in practical terms, it's about, if you go to Chaim Noashe, an Amo is just under half a meter, so Tes Zayin Amo would be just under 8 meters wide, would be Rishus HaRabim HaTorah. So all of our roads, if you look around here, are well over, most of the roads, almost all the roads here in London, around England, would be 8 meters wide. Man number two, Einon Mekurim, they were not covered. Anything that's covered cannot be Rishus HaRabim. The third halacha, which is very important, which slips under the radar, is Ein Lahem Choma. There may or may not be another layer in this, but simply put, if a Rishus HaYach, if a Rishus HaRabim has walls around it, then it cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. One very easy to understand it is that if it have enough mechitzas to be a Rishus HaYachid, and the fact that the Rabbim are here don't disturb the Mechitas, we'll see in a second what that means, then by definition it can't be Rishus HaRabim because it's already got the din of Rishus HaYachid. There may be another Tanai of Mefurish Mishalishah, but let's leave that out. Elohim Choma does not have a wall around it. A wall around it would prevent it from being Rishus HaRabim. So,
the Choma is around the
area. Around the area we're discussing, so either the town,
the whole city.
So if it's around the whole city, then anything in the city can't be Rishus HaRabim. Nowhere in the city can be Rishus HaRabim if there's a Choma around the whole area. Please, any questions? If it's not clear, the whole point of this year is to crystallize things. Anything is not clear, please dig in straight away. So, again, Tezan Amo wide, uncovered, and without a wall around it. The Baha, then there's the Yesh Omrim and the Mechaba. Everyone's very familiar with this because this is a hot topic of conversation. There's a Bahag, which is the Bialoch, which is bought by also many other Rishim bring as well, but it's assigned to the Bahag. The first person the Bialoch finds it is called Bahag. And that is another Tanai we learn from Digle Midbar, from the Midbar, is you need Shishim Riboy, 600,000 people. And this is where it gets exciting. How do you define an area, how do you find this Tanai, this fourth Tanai? Just to, as I'm sure you may be aware, the Loshon Bal Nefesh Yachm is thrown around here a lot when it comes to Erevin. The first place it's thrown around here is here, because since it's only Yesh Omrim in the Mechaba, it's only brought as a second there, and normally the way the Mechaba writes, it terms it his language, if it's a Yesh Omrim in the Mechaba, then it's not the main, the Ikar Halacha. So the fact that people are so much, any large Erev, which in a large town nowadays, which contains Yesh Omrim, is relying on this fourth Tanai. Again, in order to create Rishus HaRabim, you need all the Tanai we've mentioned. If any of them are missing, then we can make it not Rishus HaRabim and we're able to create an Eruv. So to rely that this fourth Tanai is necessary Rishus HaRabim is a Kula, because it's telling me that if I don't have Shishim Riboy, I can create an Eruv here. So how do we understand this Tanai, which is not brought by all the Rishus? Yes.
600,000 will give you what?
We'll give you Shusharabim, which means what we're really saying is without Shishim Riboy, then it can't be Shusharabim. Like if it's too narrow, it's not Tezayin Amma wide, it can't be Shusharabim. Like if it's covered, it can't be Shusharabim. Then without Shishim Riboy, it also can't be Shusharabim. Shusharabim is defined by a large amount of people using or in the area. So,
Shusharabim was surrounded by walls, or just Rubin. 600,000 spread out over
the area. Okay, so let's see. So it depends on the definition of Shishim Riboy. So the language of the Mechaber is Shekol She'ein Shishim Riboy Oivrim Boy Bechol Yoim. You don't have the area with this under discussion, whether it's the structure. Okay, so the platea, at least the main area people are gathering together to and the voice of Loshem Beinem have 600,000 people using it on a daily basis. Now this would exclude almost many areas from being Shem Deraisa, because few roads you can say with confidence are being used by 600,000 people on a daily basis. So if we want to be sober, if we're being semich on the Yesh Omrim, we want to use the Yesh Omrim as a way to be matter to make things not to define things as not being Shusharabim, then the easiest definition of Shishim Riboy is as the Mechaber presents it. The problem is the Bi'alocha says that this is kumat not found in any of the Lashonis of the Rishonim. Even the Rishonim who do bring the Tanya Shishim Riboy don't define it in these terms. And he brings a Ritzvan, a Rashba, but then there's so many nuances here of how to define it, and it's so critical, this understanding of Shishim Riboy, because in order to allow a large Eruv, then to understand what Shishim Riboy is critical. So if we move down the rungs, away from the language of Shulchan Aruch, which people are not happy to be Sevech on, because as Be'alocha says, you can't be Meicha B'yad those who are Sevech on the Lashon of the Mechaber, but he really doesn't like the fact that the Rashi is brought in this way. So he defines, and Be'alocha defines the Shishim Riboy as a Ir Sheyesh Boy, which means not whether the road itself directly is being used by 600,000 people, but rather if the road or the area is being mishamish, it serves 600,000 people, which means, and that includes, by the way, he says that also would include people who come in on a daily basis. So for example, the city of London may well, I'm sure it does, thereby definitely on a daily basis, in that area alone, there will be people, 600,000 people, using the streets and the platforms in various, and Hyde Park Corner and Trafalgar Square business. It's serving, the area serves 600,000 people. Therefore, even if on any individual place you may not find 600,000 people using it, but it's serving that volume, that population, then the word Bechol Yom doesn't even come in, because it's about the area is being used on a daily, the area serves 600,000 people, then those areas will fulfill the Tanai, which is a Rabbim, or this Tanai of Shishim Rabbim, and therefore, as long as they also are Tezan Amma wide, uncovered, and don't have a wall around it, they'll count as Rishon Shavim de Minatera. Now, the roads, which in a town like London, which certainly contains 600,000 people, would still exclude the roads which are not being used by the 600,000 people. For example, you can clearly say, very easily say, that the centre of London, city of London, is definitely used by that sort of population, so we can just think about it as terms of the platzi of Chazal, that's where people gather to business. And then people will leave or come in and out of the centre of London through the various access roads. So the A1 starts in a Hyde Park Corner area, that goes straight up from Marble Arch area up, straight up. So that is a beautiful access road all the way from central London. The A10 also goes all the way down to, I think, near Tower Bridge, the A10 goes somewhere near the River Thames, right into the city, and goes straight up out of London, and if I'm not mistaken, it even meets the motorway that beyond the M25 that goes straight up. Those are Mavoyos and Mefuloshim from areas which are servicing such 600,000 people, and therefore will take you straight out to the various exit roads or motorways or A-roads that leave London and go to other places. So those are very hard, unless you're going with the language of the Mechaber, those would be also roads which, if the understanding of the Halacha, the Ir Sheyesh Boy, and the areas which are being used, servicing 600,000 people, will be a problem. However, a local access road, for example, a road that comes off the main roads, which are only being used by people who actually live there. Folks, for example, Golders Green Road will come to, because Golders Green Road may be somewhere in the middle. But let's say, Parkway, no, Parkway's a cul-de-sac. No, much better than Parkway. PPA is not used by 600,000. It's not used as an access road by 600,000 people. If you think about London being the centre of London and the roads that come out, like a spider web out to London, then the roads that cut between them are only going to be used by the people who are either going to work, from work, or live in the area. That's not going to count as an area of the mishamish 600,000 people. It's very easy if you look at London in particular. It's a round city, so it's very easy to see. You can distinguish between the roads which are being mishamish, the centre of town, and or feed out to the outer roads go out of London, and the areas which sit in between them, the suburbs in between, lechera, are not being mishamish 600,000 people. However, there is a strict interpretation of this, and people, and any road in a city which is servicing 600,000 people, any road in that city is also called a mishamish to mishamish, and that is pretty much close to the position of the Kadassia and the Union, that even the roads like PPA, and the reasoning I've heard from various abonim is because that, let's say for example, you come down Finchley Road, does go all the way down to the city. So Finchley Road, any road that branches, even perhaps in an angle off Bridge Lane, would also theoretically be a problem. Goldsmith Road comes down Finchley Road, and if you're coming down Finchley Road from the city, then if you're trying to get out to the A1, you may decide to make a veer down Goldsmith Road and through Hendon and out to the A41 and follow it down to the A1. So all the roads that veer off and can be mishamish at some point, doesn't have to necessarily be mishamish on a regular basis. For example, if there'll be roadworks on the Finchley Road, then everyone would be feeding down Goldsmith Road to get to North Circular and the M1 and the M25. So any road in an area which is servicing 600,000 people could also be mishamish, and that's why there's a much stricter interpretation with the Union why the starting point is that. Am I in agreement with me? Huh? Okay, no, he's also listening, so I have to make sure he's checking up on me. So that is why we have a very hard time. That's why the starting point of the Union is it's very hard to make a citywide area in a area in any town which comes.
Shusham Daraisa, not Daraisa.
No, there's no such thing as a Shusham Daraisa.
I always talk about Shusham Daraisa.
Yes, it's an expression because there's like you'll see. We'll get to Shusham Daraisa in a second. But there's no such thing as a Shusham Daraisa. Daraisa. The only thing we have, the closest we have to that is called the Carmelist, but it's not the Carmelist. Let's just move. I'll tell you, there is a fourth interpretation of Shishim Riboy, and then perhaps come on for another few minutes. The fourth interpretation of Shishim Riboy is Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein has a completely different way of looking at Shishim Riboy. Tonight we're discussing the numbers of Shishim Riboy, and the area, the size we're discussing is irrelevant. It's either the place, the road itself, Kloshtan Bechabe, or the ear that is Meshama Shishim Riboy. Ramosha says, he goes all the way back to basics of Digley Midbo. He says, the size of Machane Yisrael was Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, which is 6 kilometers by 6 kilometers, if I'm not mistaken, right? But I think it's 6 kilometers. Now, that area contained, we know the numbers from Rashi, we know that 600,000 males over the age of 20 equals a population of approximately 3 million. The Rashi Atari comes by Yotzim Mitzrayim, came out the same numbers. So Ramosha says, really, the number of Shishim Riboy is actually a remes for an area the size of Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, which contains a population of 3 million people. So what you could do, and this is what people do to work out of Shishim Ramosha, is have make to scale a box. Let's say you have your map, you have a large map of London, or whatever the town you're dealing with, and you have to then take, cut out an area which, based on the scale of the map, would contain an area of Yud Beis Mil, Yud Beis Mil, and then move around and see whether in my box I'm going to have a living population of 3 million people. That's what the Harav Moshe defines Shishim Riboy. He has an added chumrah that he says that any road in an area of Yud Beis Mil, nothing to do with how we're describing servicing local access roads or general access to get in and out. Any road, any time you can assume there'll be the X amount of people in the streets. Would be Eir Shavim Daraisa.
He said that 3 million people.
3 million people. Shishim Riboy, it translates into 3 million. Yeah.
3 million people in a town.
3 million people in an area. Again, it's not none to the size of the town. It's got to do with the area of Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil. So if the town is much bigger than Yud Beis Mil, you may have areas in the town which fulfill the Rav Moshe, but other areas which don't fulfill the Tanai Rav Moshe, depending on the density of the population. Now, So, So let's quickly finish off. I want to particularly talk about why it's so important, the halachas of Rishus Rabbim. Let's quickly finish off what Rishus Yochid and what's Mokim Patur. Rishus Yochid, on the other hand, is an area which is surrounded by mechitzas. Mechitzas is 10 tefachim high, and the minimum size of Rishus Yochid is dalat tefachim by dalat tefachim. There's a menatura, you only need 3 mechitzas to be a Rishus Yochid, and midabonon is required, you're required to have 4 mechitzas. A Mokum Patur is anywhere which doesn't fulfill the Tanai of Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid. For example, you're driving down the M1, which is a beautiful Rishus HaRabim, and on the side you have a meadow or, I don't know, a pasture which may or may not have mechitzas. If it has mechitzas, it will be Rishus HaYochid Ma'at Torah. If it has no mechitzas, because it's not used by the Rabim, it's not used Lehiluch HaRabim, again, I'm assuming we're going with the fourth Tanai, it has to be used by Shishim Riboy. The field, the meadows and various places around the countryside in England which are not used by Shishim Riboy, it's not on the side of the motorway or anywhere else, will be classified as a Mokum Patur Menatera if it doesn't have mechitzas, because it hasn't got mechitzas, doesn't fulfill, it's not Rishus Yochid, it's not used by a Rabbim according to the Bahag, and therefore it will be a Mokum Patur. Yeah.
All the streets in town,
yes,
surrounded by houses,
yeah,
and all the Rishus HaYochid have got mechitzas,
yeah,
then automatically the streets of Rabbin's also got mechitzas, because it's got mechitzas on both sides, which are the mechitzas.
Correct. In a perfect world, if a house are laid out like in America, like chessboards, and there's no gaps between them, and it's not, then theoretically it may well be true that the houses will create mechitzas. However, we're going to see as you learn further on in Dirshu, you'll see that in order to create mechitza, it has to be in line, you have to create an merubah, so it has to be in line with each other. There can't be any gaps in corners. Keren's obvious is a big no-no. So you'd have to examine it. You can't make an assumption that it would be true, but it could be very lots of areas, and will rely on walls of houses in part. But you'll still come to places where you'll need to add in a Tzuras Pesach and other things picks it up. But in an ideal world, if you design it very well, you could theoretically create a place which has mechitzas at least around 3 sides of it. The fourth side might be hard because you won't be able to get out. But that would be in order to create Rishus HaKadna. Now, what are the halachas of Rishus HaRabim? Everyone knows that you can't carry. What does it mean to not carry Rishus HaRabim? So there are 2 ways that it starts also in Rishus HaRabim. One is it's also to motzi mirishus lirishus. You can't carry between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid. So if you've walked out of your house and you've realized that you're carrying someone in your pocket in Rishus HaRabim, then don't stop, because in order to be considered a Hitzom Rishus HaRabim, you need an Akira in one of the 2 Rishus and Hanacha in the other type of Rishus. So preferably go back to the same Rishus you started from. If you can't, go to different Rishus HaYochid. And that way you'll lift your Akira, your original Akira will be in Rishus HaYochid, but your eventual Hanacha will also be in Rishus HaYochid, and therefore you haven't carried between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid. The Issa goes both ways. So if you pick something in Rishus HaRabim, again, you also can't carry it into Rishus HaYochid, and if you do, you're Chayav Chatas. The other Issa of Rishus HaRabim is Havaras Dalad Amos, which means even without leaving Rishus HaRabim, if you pick it up in Rishus HaRabim and you walk more than 4 Amos, or you move the Chayfets for more than 4 Amos, then you're also Chayav Chatas, Mezed Yechayav Misa. You may have noticed that in the Siman Shim, in the sim which deals with Havaras Dadamas, there's actually a complicated way of looking at it. Do you look at where I am? I can't pick something up and walk. Is the 4 Amos based on where I am or where the Chifetz is? Theoretically, there is mokum to say that if I pick something up, which is the edge of my Dalad Amos, but within my Dalad Amos, and I move it a mashu out of Dalad Amos, that can also be an Issa Min HaTorah, because it's moving things out. So that's a complicated area. But Havaras Dalad Amos, easiest way to understand it, pick something up where I am, walk 4 Amos, it's a problem. Now, the third practical nafkamina of Rishus HaRabim, which is why it's so nagea to know what Rishus HaRabim is a concept which we haven't come across yet in Mishnah Berurah, but it's going to be related in Shin Samach Vayishnei Adal, is Osi Rabim Mevatel Mechitza, which means that we've defined a Rishus HaRabim as someone which doesn't have mechitzas. Rishus HaYochid is someone which does have mechitzas. So anywhere which I have a mechitza should be, by definition, okay. So what's stopping anyone building an Erev? An Erev requires putting up either a merubus of the batim, or you're going to have anywhere which doesn't cover a merubus, then practically nowadays we put up a Tzuras HaPesach. So as long as I build my Tzuras HaPesach, I surrounded my area, my city, with halachic mechitzas, who cares whether it fulfills the Tanai of Rishus HaRabim? It can't fulfill the Tanai of Rishus HaRabim because it's Rishus HaYochid. It has a wall around it, it has mechitzas. And this is the key reason why Rishus HaRabim is our problem, because Osi Rabim Umvav Mechitza, the Chesh of a Rabim, any area which fulfills the various conditions of Rishus HaRabim, whether there's 3 or 4 conditions, destroys mechitzas, or destroys the mechitzas at least of Rishus HaPesach. Because when the rabbim walk through an area, then it's kamandaleisa. It means if I have a beautiful Atzeres Pesach over a road, but it's the that road, whether it's Goldstein Road, whether it's Finch Road, whether it's North Circular, whatever road someone's placed Atzeres Pesach over, if it fulfills the tanoim of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then that mechitza is kamandaleisa, and you're left with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim deoraisa, which you still can't carry in. So the practical solution of Chazal was in Yerushalayim, for example, which had a road which went straight through Yerushalayim, was to close the doors, delosus ne'ulos balayla. And the ikar halacha later is that you need doors that are closed on a nightly basis to prevent. And that Chazal will kivea that reduces the effectiveness of the hilchos rabim to the fact there's no osirabim. It's not osirabim. There's no osirabim b'af mechitza. There's a second day in Shulchan Aruch later, which says even though this is a Rambam, even though they're not closed on a nightly basis, but if they're uya yislino on a nightly basis, then that's also enough to prevent an osi rabim. So, which is why in the Goldstein Eruv, as a tziruf, if you've heard Rabbi Zimman Shir, as a tziruf, they created a new patented a new design of delosses, which are uya yislino. They're not open on a nightly basis. They're not closed every night, and. Say again?
Once a year, no?
I think they do it more than often once a year to make sure they're working. They do it once every 3 months or a few weeks. They have permission. They've wangled, the permission that they actually got from Barnet Councils allows them to do whatever they want, which is a big benefit because that means that we're not controlled. If there'd be times where we're not allowed to close it, they'd be hard to see how it's Ruyas Lina. But they actually have permission to do whatever they want, and they do it more regularly than once a year, I believe.
But where are they?
So, anywhere, very good question. So, because areas which are mamish only local access roads, so there was various stages in the development of Goldstein Eruv where they were going to put these losses through Ruyas Lino. And in the beginning, they were only going to put it on the roads which could be considered a Rosham Deraisa, like the two ends of Goldstein Road, and they were going to put it at, which is again, a road which cuts through, a main road which cuts through the area. I think they were going to put on the Vale as well, and Bridge Lane. Those are the places they were going to only put it. So effectively, only end of three rows, six hidden delosses. However, based on the various negotiations that went on, it was decided that they would have one at every entrance to the Eruv. So everywhere where the Eruv meets, the border of the Eruv at each place, there are delosses, except for the very small roads. The small roads, there's much more than they have. So, for example, the roads that say that meet Finchley Road here on the side, they don't have losses roads. No, if I'm not mistaken, they do.
Yeah, they don't.
They do. They do. Read it, so they do. Okay, so they do.
But the end of Bridge Lane where it meets Finchley.
They certainly have one there. I've seen it. Yeah, there's losses. You can't see the losses. Yeah. So the losses aren't always in the same place, which is another discussion. Sometimes they're befall with Paskin that it doesn't have to be directly in line with the Tzuras Pesach. So you can walk till the Tzuras Pesach, but the losses may actually be set back. This little box, wherever they manage to work out with permission, without permission, whatever it is a small blue box which has a key and it gets and these folding, flimsy, if I may say so, doors get pulled out across the road. And they're not necessarily in line. So they may be, for example, here I think on Portsdown, though the roads here, the good switch road here, you have a Tzuras Pesach right at the end of the road, or close to the end of the road. It's worth checking how far you can walk. But the box which contains the delosses is actually set further back. They're closer almost at Templars. At one point, there's one by Templars. Because again, and the theory behind that was, why had it not been saved? As long as I have somewhere on the area, on this road, exit road here, delosses Ruyas Lino, then this road doesn't have the problem of Osi Rabim. Once it doesn't have Osi Rabim, then I put the Tzuras Pesach wherever I like. Like I said, the number of delosses decreases dramatically, and I think, and as I said, I think most of them all have delosses, Ruyas Lino. Yes or no? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Just to finish off, there is a fourth type of Rishus, which is a Rishus de Rabbonon, which is called a Karmelis. Now, we've seen over the course of the simon we're doing now, there's actually various types of karmelis. There's a karmelis which takes a mokum p'turu deiraisa. So again, there's three types of rishus matayrosh: rab shliach and a mokum p'tur. Rabbonon said anything which has a mokum dalad al dalad even though it's makom ptur, Rabbanon agoyza karmenes. What's he mean? Karmenes says it's similar to both Rosh Hashanah and Shul Siyachid, so Rabbanon gave it the chumra of both. We treat it like a third Rosh Hashanah, just like I can't carry between Rosh Hashanah and Shul Siyachid. Chazal said, whatever we define as a karmenes, you can't carry between it and Rosh Hashanah, and you also can't carry between it and Shul Siyachid. It's essentially a third Rosh Hashanah, which you can't carry between any of the other two Rosh Hashanahs, but Rabbanon. And the main karmenes within Shem Mem Hei is the karmenes which is a makom ptur min HaTorah. And Chazal said, if it has a makom dalad al dalad, then it's going to be give it, we're going to give it a din of a karmelis. There are other types of karmelis which we've seen already, which are Chazal took a something which is a shusay yachim in atayra and also gave it the halach of a karmelis. For example, we've seen a karf of yisbeis asayim she'ena mukvedira. If you have a wide area, this I want to talk about perhaps next time, a wide area which is not used for tashmish edira. If it's too big, it's yisbeis asayim and it wasn't hooked, it wasn't made to be used as part of my chotas as a chotas meshamish tabayis, then even though it's a shizachim na Torah, it's still a karma, it's a karmenes midrabanon. We've seen most recently another type where you have mechitzas gurois, which you have mechitzas which are only posts and nothing connecting the posts on both levels, then only shalshesi or sha'erov. That's also, if it's two, if it's yesu bit of time, it also has a lot of a karmenes, unless you happen to be traveling with three people. Okay, so there are types of karmenes which are shizachim na Torah, and the main ikka karmenes midrabanon is the common standard garden variety karmenes is the one which is a makom ptur. Despite the fact that one karmenes is based on makom ptur and one karmenes is based on Shul Yochid, Chazal said you can carry between the two. You would have to carry between a karmenes which is Shul Yochid and a karmenes which is based on makom ptur, because heim omru veheim omru, and it's mutter to do. Okay.
I can't seem to develop an appreciation of the fact that I take up space.